I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. This week, an intimate look at Brazil. South America's largest country is home to a booming economy and a fast-growing middle class who see Florida as a gateway to the United States. Brazilians are breathing life into Florida businesses, real estate, and tourism, and they're reshaping Florida's culture. I'll talk with an expert panel about Brazilians' love affair with the Sunshine State and what it means in Florida, where the recession is already hard-hitting. That's ahead on Intersection. Brazil has become a crucial part of Florida's economy. It's South America's largest country and the fifth largest in the world, and its booming economy has become virtually immune to the worldwide economic downturn. Governor Rick Scott visited Brazil last year as part of a trade mission with 115 Florida companies. This winter, President Barack Obama came to Walt Disney World to announce plans to make it easier for international travelers, singling out Brazilians in particular, to come to the United States. For more on how Brazil's influence will likely impact Florida, I'm joined by an expert panel. We've got Manny Mancia of Enterprise Florida, where he's an expert in international trade. Manny, great to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
We also have Amy Litter, who is president of the Central Florida Brazilian American Chamber of Commerce. Amy, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Same.
And we are joined on the phone from Birmingham, Alabama, by Gregory Mundy, who is chief executive officer at IMDC. It's an Orlando-based engineering and construction firm. Mundy joined Governor Rick Scott on last year's trade mission to Brazil. Gregory, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Let's start with Manny. For the first time last year, Brazil surpassed the United Kingdom as Florida's top source for international tourists. Since 1998, Brazil has been Florida's top trade partner. So in what ways is Brazil influencing Florida, and which way has Brazil's influence in Florida specifically grown and changed in recent years?
Well, I like to say that for Florida, Brazil is China. They are our China. It's the economic potential that Brazil has for the state of Florida is unsurpassed. Brazil is our number one export market in the world. Not only our number one export market, but because of the type of products that we sell in Brazil tend to be high technology, high wage type products, it has a huge impact on our international trade sector. It's also our number one source for international visitors. But as important in recent years as a Brazilian miracle, as a Brazilian economic expansion has matured, they have become a very important investor in the state of Florida, both from the job creation side and from sectors, for example, like the real estate side. There are estimates that Brazilian real estate purchases in Florida may surpass $1 billion this year. We are also seeing a phenomenon of literally thousands of Brazilian companies establishing different type of operations in the state of Florida. In fact, the Brazilian consulate estimates that there are 4,000 plus Brazilian-owned companies in Florida today.
So we just as an example of that, Embraer, the aircraft manufacturer, recently opened up in Melbourne.
Absolutely. And in fact, probably one of the most important foreign direct investment establishments we've had in Florida in recent memory, because Embraer becomes the first foreign airframe manufacturer ever to assemble airplanes in the United States. And for that to be done in Florida means a lot to our state in terms of image and visibility in the world aviation aerospace industry.
Manny, historically, has Brazil always had such close connections with Florida, or when did this really kick off?
Well, it's an expanding relationship. I think probably beginning in 1990, as Brazil became a much more active player in world trade, Brazil began to look at Florida. It became a place where first Brazilians liked to visit. You know, probably Disney here in Orlando had as much to do with this, the growth of this relationship as anything. And then Brazilians found that the ambience in Florida, first in South Florida because of the Latin flavor of the region, and then Orlando because also a growing culture of Latins, but the attractions, etc., became two focal points for Brazilians. Maybe as many as 300,000 or 400,000 that are either full time or at least part time residents in Florida today.
Well, let's ask the Brasileira herself, Amy Litter, who is with us in the studio as well. Amy, why do you think Brazilians are so interested in Florida in these different areas, business, real estate, tourism? What is attractive for Brazilians?
Well, I would say that the seed, the real seed, was Disney, because I was living in Brazil in the 70s, and all my friends, the ones that could afford a trip to the United States, had a dream of coming to Disney. So that's how it all started. And then from that was a natural development. You come to the States. I moved here in 88. You come here, you start feeling more or less at home because the mixing cultures here, mainly Spanish. And then you want to stay a little bit more. Then you try to buy a house here, small one. Then you improve a little bit, then suddenly you feel at home. That's what brought Brazilians here. Now, the massive arrival of Brazilians in the late years is a conjugation of, first, Brazilians have a lot of money now, a lot of investment money. And Florida had very low prices, real estate. So, you know, it's simple. Let's invest in Disney.
Is it
very close?
Is it just a question of economics? Because in the period you're talking about, the late 80s all the way through the modern day, Brazil has seen a lot of political reforms, certainly economic reforms, and economic boom. So is it really just money that's driving it? Because things are good for Brazilians right now in their own country.
Yeah, they don't want, most of them don't want to live here. But they live to another opportunity. They want to live in two countries. They still have their business there. They make a lot of money there. And they have something going on here also. They don't plan to move here definitely. Some of them do, but not all.
And do you see in the cultural exchange that's happening, do you see Florida and American culture influencing Brazil, but also do you see Brazilian cultural influencing Florida?
Definitely.
How so?
Well, Brazilians, you know, have a history of growth that unheard of lately. Suddenly, Brazil became, you know, the sixth biggest economy in the world, and it was suddenly. So I think we have a lot to teach to a lot of people. People are curious to know, how did you do it? So we did just, you know, because we had three presidents that worked very hard on it. The first one, trying to eradicate inflation, took inflation down a lot. This is something that everybody wants to learn how to do, isn't it? So I think we have something to teach. The second one, raised the lower class, the real below the poverty line class, to middle class.
Are you talking about former President Lula?
Lula.
Yes.
That was the second one. The first one was Fernando Henrique, who tried to eradicate inflation. And he did very good. He lowered a lot. So Lula came and he changed the face of the country and the self-esteem of the country, because Brazilians always thought to be less than other countries. Suddenly, Brazilians have some pride of being Brazilians. And the poor people begin to be able to buy cars, to have credit, and so that was Lula. So the self-image of the country changed, and the external image of the country changed as a result.
And certainly the esteem of Brazilians very high with the 2014 World Cup ahead and 2016 Olympic Games coming to Brazil as well. Let's bring another voice into our conversation. Gregory Mundy is the chief executive officer of IMDC, an Orlando-based construction and engineering firm. Gregory, you traveled to Brazil last year on a trade mission with Governor Rick Scott and other business and political leaders, and we just heard Amy talking about this economic and construction boom that's happening in the cities of Brazil. What kinds of business opportunities did you discover on your own trip there during that trade mission?
Well, first, upon arrival, we were given a translator, which gave us a level of comfort because we were not familiar enough with Portuguese to speak fluently. But upon meeting the different businesses that our skill sets were like or interests, we discovered that there was a great need for what we had to offer, but also there is more of a desire to develop partnerships. So the matter of coming into Brazil and working was a matter of developing relationships with the other businesses and other entities so that they become more familiar with you, not just on a technical or business level, but as a personal level, because a lot of business seems to be done, of course, by contract, but also by your personality and what they have to offer. What is going on in Brazil, from my view, is that there is a big demand for infrastructure, transportation. The country is so vast and so large, but comparatively to the United States, they lag behind as far as the necessary infrastructure and transportation to make the country even greater than what it is now. As previously stated, Brazilians do have a lot to offer as far as the economy, as far as the manner of how people interact with one another of the different levels. But at the same time, what we have discovered is that there is a big need to move everything forward in a very rapid pace because of the Olympics, because of all the other activities that are taking place, and because the cities have to begin not only to develop but to grow. So there is growth around the cities and outside the cities, and everything is has to be tied together in time for the Olympics and all the other events that they have. But the population was amazing to me. I've never been to a city quite as large as São Paulo, where we started from. And just to see how everything is operating and controlled and how people are interacting was a good eye-opener for myself.
Gregory, when you go down there, of course, American firms competing with other international businesses. I'm thinking China is doing a huge business in terms of providing infrastructure and developing places. Are you worried about that kind of competition, and how do you provide an edge for your own American company?
Well, I think by being an American, it gives you somewhat of an advantage, but also understanding that the other companies that are there, particularly from the Netherlands, they're doing a great deal of business. But at the same time, there's an opportunity to get the Brazilians involved with what we're doing and trying to grow our business in the state of Florida and throughout the United States. So it's a shared relationship and partnership that we're looking at versus trying to go to Brazil and do work in Brazil and bring the monies home. We're trying to actually establish a base in Brazil and in Florida by which we can share and grow together.
And are you worried about competition also with domestic companies in Brazil, like Odebrecht? I know is a huge conglomerate providing construction both in Brazil and around the world. Do you have to worry about carving out a niche for yourself, or is there one open and ready to embrace?
Well, there's one open and ready to embrace, but, you know, the real problem, and I guess just the sidetrack, is really there's a major concern over the last bill that was signed by the governor, which restricts companies like such as Odebrecht and other Brazilian companies who may potentially be damaged from doing work or prevented from doing further work in the state of Florida, which will have an impact on my firm doing more business in Brazil, because there may be some sort of retribution to go back and forth based on the fact that, you know, this bill is very restrictive.
Well, talk to us a little bit about that, Manny Mancia. There's a little bit of give and take that has to go on here. How do you strike that delicate balance between what interest you want to promote for Brazilians in Florida, but also keep the door open for Americans in Brazil?
Well, you know, I think Brazil and Florida share some commonalities and see mutual opportunities on both sides. Through partnerships, as Gregory mentioned, I think, quite frankly, my advice to a Florida company if you want to penetrate a market as dynamic but also as complex as Brazil, you want to have a good local partner and see it as a partnership and a strategic alliance rather than just a client-supplier relationship. My expectation is the Cuba bill will be challenged in federal court. I think we have not seen the final word on that issue. There is great concern in Brazil. I've spoken to the coalition of Brazilian industries. The one thing should be clarified is basically it prohibits companies from anywhere in the world doing business in Cuba from contracting with the government. It doesn't exclude them from doing business in any other way, manner, shape, or form. But as I said, the expectation is that the law will be challenged in the federal court, as many say it exceeds state authority over federal matters. And second, it may violate WTO agreements that the United States has signed. So you haven't seen the end of this issue, I don't think.
And Amy Litter, is it easy for Brazilians to come into Florida and set up businesses here? Does Florida offer opportunities that other states don't? For instance, if you think about Texas, for example, there's a lot of similarities between the two. But does Florida have an edge to offer businesses wanting to come into the Sunshine State?
Well, my perception is that opportunities don't come from the outside in. They have to be created from the inside out. You have to look for the opportunity. You have to gather all your knowledge, all your expertise, and go towards what is available. Like, I'll give you an example. The City Hall has a very good thing going on, the HOLA, that helps Hispanic business to learn how to start a business and how to grow, where to go to have help. So if you are really focused on starting something, you have all the help you can get. You just have to look for it. Nobody's going to come with a tray for you and offer. But if you look for it, Florida is really great.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. We're talking about Brazil. I'm joined by an expert panel. We've got Manny Mencia of Enterprise Florida. Amy Litter is president of the Central Florida Brazilian American Chamber of Commerce. And joining us by phone from Birmingham, Alabama, Gregory Mundy, Orlando businessman who traveled to Brazil last year with Governor Rick Scott. I'm Mark Simpson. Tell us about what ways you think Brazil is transforming Florida. You can let us know on Facebook or Twitter or send an email over to intersection@WMFE.org. Gregory Mundy, tell us, your company has done business in places like the Philippines before. You're looking at doing business in Brazil. How does Brazil and that experience compare with doing business in other countries? More challenging, less challenging, or how do you rank it?
Well, I think it is very high. Like I said earlier, the whole issue is the partnerships that we have and are developing along the way. The biggest obstacle initially has been the language. To learn Portuguese after studying Spanish and growing up speaking strictly English and then learning to speak Spanish, and then you jump into Portuguese, which really is not very difficult once we get started. But Brazil has a great deal of opportunity. I think that the firms, particularly the smaller firms such as ourselves, are very eager for help. The larger firms are very interested in looking at expanding into the U.S. So it has presented us opportunity where we can actually begin to look at growing our firm not just in Brazil, but also within the United States and competing a little stronger with some of the firms that we would typically have to sub with or we could not really compete against on certain project types.
And if you can, just briefly, give us a specific. What's an example of a project you're interested in?
Well, in Brazil, there's a great deal of pipeline activity. The trains are, the rail system is being able to be expanded. The airports are truly in demand, not just in the major cities, but in some of the rural areas. And working with their version of the FAA as far as the navigational systems. Those opportunities have really presented themselves to be quite strong, and that's just the tip of our iceberg as we see it, because you still have the ports, the seaports, and transportation. And we're only looking at one part of the country. The country is so vast, it's one vast place to be. And you go from the north to the south, the east to the west, and what you really see is opportunity and the desire for growth and improvement, continual improvement.
Well, I have to say, Amy Litter is smiling hearing you say all this.
I'd like to add one last thing,
and that is
I think the issue of diversity in the country is undifferent. It's very different from what we have experienced here in the States. People really begin to work with each other for the betterment of everyone versus the betterment of certain groups or types of people. That has been quite remarkable to me and very welcoming.
Brazil, known as kind of a rainbow country of races and ethnicities. Amy Litter, talk to me a little bit about Brazil closer to home here in Orlando. If you drive down International Drive, there is a pocket of Brazilian businesses over there by some of the outlet malls. We see those kind of businesses, but also there's much bigger impacts like Embraer and Odebrecht working in the state of Florida as well. Take us through some of the perspective of these different levels of business that the public sees and some of the ones that you don't.
Well, I think the biggest one that is probably overlooked is the orange business.
Citrus.
Because for many years when I came here in 88, they were starting to bring, the product from Brazil to have the orange juice made here. And nowadays, it's all over. You don't know, but everything is brought from Brazil, because if you perceive, the orange production here went down a lot. So almost everything comes from Brazil. And most of it comes with the juice made in Brazil here. You don't know about that. You don't think about that. But you're drinking Brazilian orange juice every day. There you go. This is very hidden. Now, besides that, we have the general influence, like, soccer. Soccer is growing here. It's Brazilian, with Brazilian trainers, and they are preparing the next generation of Americans to play soccer. Could not be done as they tried with Pelé coming here to teach everybody, because nothing happens like that. But now it's Brazil coming here with Brazilian thing. And, that goes besides everything else. All the language teaching here, Brazilian, they are also kind of hidden, but it's everywhere.
I'm sure football fans will be wondering if Ronaldo will be coming by post-retirement to teach some Americans how to play. Well, Amy touches on an interesting point here, Manny Mancilla. When she talks about that citrus and that orange juice, this has been a kind of a battleground for Florida growers and Brazilian growers. How do you walk that line there in the realm of international trade, promoting Florida's interests but not wanting to push out Brazilians?
Well, actually, there's been a convergence in many ways, because probably the fastest growing investors in the citrus industry of the state of Florida these days are Brazilian companies. Cutrali, for example, which is the largest citrus company in Brazil, is now a very major investor in the state of Florida, and it's processing Florida orange juice. They use Brazilian concentrate also, but they are growing here in Florida also. Zitro Suco, which is, I think, the second largest concern in Brazil, is also a very major player now in the state of Florida. So there's a confluence now coming together. So it's probably not as burning an issue as it used to be. There's actually a level of complementarity, because while the Florida juice is probably the standard of quality in the world, we certainly don't produce enough. And by partnering with Brazil, we're able to supply a much larger segment of the consumer market than if we were going at it on our own. Of course, you know, let's also point out that it's not the only sector where Brazil has become major players. For example, if you're drinking Busch beer, now you're drinking a Brazilian product also, since a Brazilian company acquired this company, which is a, you know, Anheuser-Busch, which is a Florida landmark. And in that manner, you know, other Brazilian companies, Gerdau, for example, now is headquartered in Tampa, one of the largest steel producers in the world. So it's not just Orlando, it's not just South Florida. The Brazilian influence now, it's been felt all over the state. As I said when I began my my portion of the program, there is no market in the world, in my estimation, that has the potential for Florida for expansion that Brazil does.
Well, if you can, Manny and Amy, just briefly, what do you see in the next 5 to 10 years for Florida-Brazil relations and potential expansions?
I can only see the relationship strengthening. I think the United States and Brazil see commonalities during Dilma's administration that perhaps were not as apparent before. I think there are economic realities in the world that are going to bring Brazil and the United States into a closer partnership. As the Chinese economy begins to slow, I think Brazil will be looking more towards the United States, particularly to sell their manufactured products. Chinese are great consumers of Brazilian commodities. Brazil is now looking to sell value-added products. And, of course, the largest market in the world is the United States. For the United States, on the other hand, Brazil is a growing market with a huge emerging middle class. We're much more competitive in the Americas than we're in other parts of the world, like Asia, Europe. So we are natural partners. We're major democracies, major economies in the Western Hemisphere. We have a similar view of the world. I think the future can only be wonderful in terms of that relationship. And Florida will be the pivot between Brazil and the United States.
Amy Leader,
I agree completely. I think we're going to be merging. Yes, and Florida will be the starting point to, you know, to reach all over the United States. We are very close to Florida, so I think that's what's going to happen.
And I wonder also, Gregory Mundy, briefly, what do you see in the next 5 to 10 years for a company like your own?
Well, I see us being firmly established in Brazil and beginning to develop better partnerships and learning how to exist and grow. As I said earlier, there is a wealth of opportunity, and the people are very inviting, and once you hit the ground and begin to observe, you realize that there is a great deal of opportunity.
Well, Gregory Mundy is the Chief Executive Officer at IMDC. It's an Orlando-based engineering and construction firm. He joined us by phone from Birmingham, Alabama. Nice to speak with you, Gregory.
Hey, same here. Nice speaking with all of you.
We also had Manny Mencia of Enterprise Florida. Thank you, Manny, for coming in.
Thank you.
And we had Amy Litter, who is president of the Central Florida Brazilian American Chamber of Commerce. Amy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at the Florida Talks blog. Visit WMFE.org/intersection to find out more. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is the assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening. Thank you.